It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And it has been, you know, I sometimes despair this time of year that I'm going to find anything to talk about, but I see that I have found 17 different notes for the last week, which is pretty good. Now, just to give you some idea, in say mid-May, around the 15th of May, I'll probably have 50 notes for a week or 55 notes for a week. But right now, 17 is a pretty bountiful collection of notes that I've made over the past week. And that is because I've been out. I've had one long walk and then one long snowshoe hike. And I should have done those in reverse order because I was walking on an old snowshoe trail, and then I went back over that trail and walked it in snowshoes again, and that really sort of finished the packing necessary to make it more of a decent hiking trail. One of the things I did while I was doing that walk was I checked the snow depth, and it ranged from about 7 to 8 inches under the Norway pines in the forest, in the woods, to about 12 inches out in some open areas where there was an ample open spot and snow could fall uninterrupted right to the ground. And also, the trees, the pines, when the sun shines on them, they get warm, and it actually has an effect on the snow. So about 12 inches of snow would be where we are right now. And in my front yard, probably 8 or 9 inches in the front yard. Not a lot of snow for this time of year. We've had certainly years where we've had a lot more and years where we've had a lot less. But this is a decent amount of snow for this time of year. One of the things I noticed driving into my house, I cross a half mile stretch of open fields. And yesterday, as I came in with the sun angle kind of down around 4:30, you could really see the different textures of the snow. It was very, very intriguing to watch. Some looks hard and crusty, and others look kind of soft and not nearly so shiny. And it's just the patterns are so fascinating to me this time of year to check them out. So check out the snow. There's some around yet, and it'll be with us for another, this is mid-February. Today's the 9th of February, so we've got another 3 weeks of February. And then we move into March, and by the time we bang out the far end of March, we'll be looking for flowers to be blooming on the speckled alders. And speaking of the speckled alders, even after the most recent snowfall, that, 3/4 of an inch or inch that we got here, there were fresh alder seeds on top of the snow, as well as fresh birch seeds on top of the snow. So this is the time of year when the alders and the birch are busy throwing seeds, and they're finding their way on top of the snow. And if you don't think that's an effective way to reproduce, then you haven't been looking at the mine dumps along the roads northeast of Grand Rapids. Those places are just covered with birches, which suggests that the birch have some ability to be successful in this climate. And the speckled alders, all you have to do is walk down to that interface between swamp and high ground, and the trees, the shrubs that you encounter there are going to be, for the most part, speckled alders. They have a cone on them, the seed cone, that's about the size of your little fingernail, and it is dark brown, and it looks like a little tiny pine cone. But on a speckled alder, of course, it can't really be a pine cone because alders are deciduous, but the appearance is much the same. So if you're trying to decide whether it's speckled alder or not, look around and see if you don't see some of these little cones. The other thing you're going to notice on the speckled alder are the male flowers that at the 1st of April are going to start to stretch out. And right now they're about an inch to an inch and a quarter long, and they're dark I would say burgundy, dark purple is too blue. They're more reddish brown, but they are definitely dark and tight and about an inch and a quarter long. And there are lots of them, and they are all over the speckled alder. So that would be another thing you could look for on the speckled alder. The birch trees, their male catkins are out, but kind of withered, not withered, but just compressed real tight right now and not easy to make out. All birch tree, you'll certainly see them. While I was walking, I came across this little vignette of tracks. This is the fun part of walking this time of year, because the snow gives you these little views. And because I went out right after this last little bit of snow, I was able to see really fresh tracks. And one of the sets of fresh tracks was this little paired tapping of tracks or footprints along the trail, and it was from a weasel. And I followed it for a ways, and then the weasel disappeared underground, and about 3 feet later came back up and went a little ways and then dropped out of sight again under the snow. And that's the way the weasel works it, and it's pretty interesting to see that. A little further up the trail, I came across something that I have watched and looked at over the years for this time of year, the pileated woodpeckers suddenly go down to the base of trees, and they start working their way in on the base of trees. And in my walking, I came across a balsam that the woodpeckers had freshly chopped a hole in, because there was fresh chips of wood laying on top of the new snow. So they had freshly chopped this hole in the bottom of the balsam, and about 15 feet away, there was a birch, a fairly large birch, that had a frost crack at the base, about a 12-foot long crack. And right at ground level, right in the middle of that crack, the woodpeckers had chopped a hole into that birch as well. And they will be searching out active ants that are living inside of these trees. And these ants, it seems unlikely, maybe they'll catch them resting, sleeping, I don't know. But they are hammering their way into the base of these trees. And this is something that they do every year in February. They begin this search for food right at ground level. And they don't do this, at least I have not noticed them doing this at any other time of the year. So this seems to be a peculiar springtime behavior of the pileated woodpeckers. A couple of bald eagles, there's a nest near my house, and the bald eagles, there were a pair of them soaring and circling over the nest. And that was a pretty exciting day. They tend to stick around through the winter, and that's not something that was the case many years ago. So kind of fun. I got a call from a good friend, Greg Stevens, and he said that he had a female northern cardinal at his feeder, and I was instantly jealous. I would wish that once, just once maybe, a cardinal would show up at my feeder. That would be pretty exciting. I do have continuing visits from my flock of evening grosbeaks. They have been back, it's now probably going on their second month, and that is just such a delight to see those bright yellow and black and gray birds every day. It's just really amazing. Also on my hikes, I came across some real fresh sign of coyote. And the coyotes have been kind of walking by the edge of my house, within, say, 100 yards of the house, and down one of my trails, and they have scraped open down to the ground, down to the grass. They have kicked away spots, and then once they get them all cleaned out like that, they urinate in them, or they urinate first, and then they kick the snow around. Either way, there were three or four of these patches that I discovered, including one that had a very substantial scat in it, but pretty sure coyote and not wolf. Although I have had wolves around here, I think these were probably coyotes. And this is the time of year when all of the wolves and coyotes and foxes are busy passing information back and forth at places like this trail that that this coyote is working on. These scent posts are designed to advertise their presence and to attract other coyotes. Maybe a female, a male is looking for a female. Maybe a male is telling other males, hey, I'm here, don't come here, this is my territory. Whatever the nature of it, it's certainly an active thing that they do in February prior to breeding. I stopped by my father-in-law's place the other day. He lives a little bit south of the airport in Grand Rapids, and I was doing some work there and building a fire in his shed and whatnot, and my wife was there standing by her car. She was getting ready to go, and I was kind of walking up the hill toward her, and I noticed a string of deer behind her. And they were all running, and it looked like they could have been pulling Santa's sleigh because there were 15 deer in this one single file string of deer that ran behind my father-in-law's place. I was totally amazed to see that many of them, and all nose to tail. They just were like a group. So I've been having this great walk, and I've been seeing all these fun things, and I hear a raven, and I call out to it. I'm not a good mimic of ravens, but I can make a few noises. And the raven came over and flew over the top of me, and there was a strong northwest wind, but I was back in the woods. And this raven hovered, trimmed out basically, and hovered right over me. And I could see it turned its head sideways and looked down at me with one eye. And for about 30, maybe 45 seconds, that raven hung around, circled a little bit, and he and I just had this little conversation. I was speaking English to it, but being the raven, I figured he was smart enough to know English. So we talked. And I made some noise, and he made some noise. It made some noise, male or female, I do not know. But at any rate, it was a nice encounter with a raven, and really left me feeling pretty good about myself and about the day. So I had seen all these other things, and then came across this raven as well, and it was just tickling. It was wonderful. One of the things I noticed with this cold weather, and I've been walking a lot of my trails, and if you create a trail, the shrubs, the brush along the edges wants to grow into that opening because there's more sunlight there. There's less shade there. So they want to grow into that. And so if you aren't sort of walking your trails regularly and keeping this brush at bay, it can crowd you out. And there's nothing quite like the caress of a hazel brush on a cheek that's at minus 15 degrees. It doesn't take much of a touch from that little bit of hazel brush. And for many of you who are listening this morning, you know what I'm talking about. It just the barest little snap on your cheek, and man, you feel like you've been whipped. So this is the time of year when I break those branches back. And when it's 20 below zero, they break really easily. So you just walk along and reach out with a hand, and you can snap those branches off as you walk along and open your trails up for better walking in the spring and summer. But as I mentioned, you want to be really careful because, wow, when it's 20 below zero and one of those things hits you in the face, you just feel like you've been whipped. I have a friend who lives in Winona. Her name is Nora, and she works with Happy Dancing Turtle. And she sent me a note the other day, and I'm going to read you what she sent me. It's an email from her. It says, on Monday evening, the 1st of February, I was walking the Trompeau National Wildlife Refuge along the Mississippi. Remember, this is down in Winona now. I was on a trail near some marshy backwater areas, and I spooked up a great blue heron. By the time I got my camera out, it was already taken off, and the resulting photo was fairly terrible and unidentifiable. I attached it anyway, but I was fairly close, and I'm 100% sure it was a great blue heron. Hard to confuse those monsters with for anything else. And she was asking about it, and I did some research and about the Wisconsin-Illinois line is about as far north as the great blue heron's territory is delineated in my book by Sibley, my bird book by Sibley. But obviously, Winona is not that far north of that Illinois-Wisconsin line. And so this blue heron is well within its range, and it's encouraging. One of the things about blue herons that's really interesting is that they migrate north based on day length, and they will be back within 4 or 5 days of the 1st of April. So it could be as early as the 20th. I think my earliest is like the 23rd of March, but usually it's like the 25th to the 28th, 29th of March, and it might run as late as the 4th or 5th of April. But that great blue heron and the rest of his group will be headed this way right about the end of March. I was up to see my good friend Harry Hutchins yesterday, and at the Grand Village where he's hanging out, cedar waxwings and bohemian waxwings were both together in a big flock eating some of the apples there at the place. And one other note from Nora down in Winona, she said that she has a big flock of juncos. So we get the juncos here, and sometimes they stay the winter. I've had them stay, but not very often. This winter, no juncos around for me, but they are plentiful down in her neighborhood in Winona. She said there's a flock that's staying under her porch. And she also mentioned that she has a Cooper's hawk who is sort of living with them and helping himself to the odd junco from time to time. So there are juncos and Cooper's hawks that are in Minnesota, but you're going to have to go way south to see them. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. If you have observations, comments, or questions, I'd love to hear from you. Get in touch with me. You know how to do that. I'll be back again next week.